So welcome to the UK Monday Night All Addictions meeting. Our speaker tonight is Lori P, speaking on the topic of powerlessness. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you so much. I'm Lori P. I live in New York, and I'm a compulsive overeater, a codependent. I'm sure I'm a chaos creator and controller and a fixer too, but I haven't made my way there yet. That's next on the list. But I for sure am a compulsive overeater, and that's really where my powerlessness began. I grew up in a small little town, one traffic light in the state of Maine, and my family owned a restaurant, a bustling family restaurant on a tourist route through Maine up to Canada. And our life revolved around food. And by the time I was in the third grade, 8 years old, a little boy on the playground had said to me, "I don't really like you. I like your friend though, because she's not chubby and you are." And I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't even know I was chubby. It was like this whole new awareness for me, this like falling from grace. So I went home that day after school and I said, "I don't want to be chubby," to my mom. And so she did only what she knew to do with me, and she took me to Weight Watchers, and I was 8. And it really started this self-hatred with my body, this inability to control my weight, to control food. I was powerless from the age of 8. I couldn't ever get it together. I couldn't ever look like my friends did. I couldn't ever eat like my friends did. I just was never the same. And I was always comparing myself. And I wanted to be like them. I wished I was different. I prayed to be different, but I just never was. And so going to Weight Watchers, what I learned at the age of 8 was the walk of shame from the scale to the seat. Every Monday night when the older ladies would say, "Oh, did you lose this week, honey?" And inevitably, I never lost a single pound. I just gained more self-loathing and more self-hatred to the point where I just didn't want to go anymore. I didn't want to go back. As my body was growing and I couldn't figure out how to get off the weight. And so this despair with food would go on for years. And I would have points throughout middle school and high school where I was probably at somewhat of a normal body weight, but my distorted thinking had become so distorted that I didn't have any acceptance around my body being normal or having any acceptance for where my body ever was. And by the time I went to college, that was the first time I ever lived in a large metropolitan area where there was takeout food and fast food. And well, I mean, I didn't gain the freshman 15, I gained the freshman 30. And so that created a whole new spiral of real self-loathing, because now I'm really chubby. And it was when I learned how to purge. So it was like the, you know, ace in my back pocket that I needed. I could indulge in all of these foods and then just get rid of them. And that would be a tactic that I would use to control and manipulate my food for the next couple of decades. I wouldn't use it every day, but I would use it in those emergency situations when I had, you know, consumed and binged and overindulged. And so food always took up so much space in my head. What was I going to eat? What did I want to eat? Did I need to go to the grocery store? Did I need to go to the convenience store? Did I want to go into this drive-thru? What did I want to eat? It was always top of mind. And then I would eat, and then I would hate myself for it. Then there was all this self-loathing. I shouldn't have eaten that. That isn't on a diet. That isn't on this diet that I'm on this week. How could I have done that? And so then there was just this despair. And then somehow I get into this valley of despair, but then I try to get to this new level of hope where, okay, a new diet. I'm going to start this diet. And this diet is going to be the one that saves me. And I'm going to muster up all this courage and willpower. And I'm going to find my way. But I never did. Never, ever did. And every Monday was like the same circus with the same results. And it ended so futilely. Like, I just never won this battle. So because I couldn't control the food, I tried to control people. And that didn't work out so well either. You know, my first husband had addictions of his own. And if I could just stay in his business and micromanage him and control him, then I didn't have to put the focus on myself and worry about what was really happening with me and my life and how selfish and self-centered I was. I could just keep all the focus on him and try to get him to do all the things that I wanted him to do. And so after marrying him, having two children with him, and divorcing him when those two children were 2 and 4, I found myself in Al-Anon at the recommendation of a therapist. And so Al-Anon was really my first program, and I thank God for it regularly, because I went there thinking that they were going to tell me how to manage him, how to manage that relationship. You know, how could I co-parent with this person who was so unreasonable? And when I got there, that's not quite what I got. I mean, right? That's not what we get when we go to a program like that. Little did I know that I was the problem and I was going to work on myself. And what were my behaviors? Where was I getting the ball rolling? What were my expectations? What was my selfishness? And I was doing a fifth step with a sponsor in Al-Anon who used the big book. And I was sharing with her all these things I was resentful about. And they all came back to body image, to my weight, to my inability to control food. And I literally thank God for her regularly, because she had the courage to say to me, I think you have a problem with food. If somebody was saying this to me about alcohol, I would send them to AA. I think you should consider OA. And that really started my OA journey. And that was about 13 years ago. And so I found myself on a Saturday morning in an OA face-to-face meeting. Half of the meeting was half the women from Al-Anon. And so I found some friendly faces. And I got started in OA. It wasn't an easy program for me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what abstinence meant. It was very arbitrary and I couldn't define it. And so I continued chugging Diet Coke and eating certain foods that were not in my best interest. And so I would just be on a journey for the next many years, 7 years, kind of floundering, trying to figure out what God would have me do and have me be. And I would then find a big book study that I would attend pretty much daily and on the weekends. And that led to a convention that they had. I went to the convention in person and I met fellows, and that was incredibly helpful. And from there, somebody introduced me to a very structured program called Overeaters Anonymous, OA How, where you go to a nutritionist, you get a food plan, it's very structured and disciplined, and you weigh and measure all your food. And I did that, and the weight came off. Finally, for the first time in my life, the weight came off. It was honest. I wasn't using diet pills. I wasn't using speed. I wasn't using purging. And I got to a normal body weight. And then life happened. I had been a corporate vice president for a large company. We were in the middle of a pandemic. My youngest son was struggling incredibly. he was depressed. He wasn't coming out of his bedroom. We had moved him from a large public high school to a very small private school right before COVID hit. He was smoking pot. He didn't have any friends. He was so close to his brother, and his brother had just left for college. And so he just found himself lost. And I found myself working 60 to 80 hours a week during COVID because the business had just gotten that busy. And there was a moment when our oldest came home and said, "Mom, what are you doing? We saw you more when you traveled every week, and you're right here in the house with us." And it was just one of those moments where God was just forcing me to pay attention to what was right under my nose. And so I started having conversations with my husband that I thought God was asking me to leave my job. And I could not believe that that was happening. But because I was abstinent and not overeating every single feeling and emotion and thought I had, it was really clear to me. And I was terrified. Like, how could this be? How could I have worked this hard in my career? And now I'm at the top and I'm going to walk away. But I felt like it was almost like do or die with my son. Like, if I didn't do something radical, I was going to be visiting him at rehab or jail. Like, something drastic was going to happen to him. And so in April of 2021, I resigned and I was done. And I became a stay-at-home mom when my son was 17. And he said to me, "Are you kidding me? Now? I mean, now I'm 17. And I just said, "Well, better late than never. And we're just going to figure out how this goes." And the short story of a long story is that it was a miracle and God played such a huge hand in all of that, because never would that have ever been my plan. Never would that have been the script that I would have written for me to be the actor in. But I did feel powerless. I did feel like I had no choice, and that was the only decision that I could make at that time. And so Bryce, you know, ends up being fine. But at that time, at that moment, April of 2021, I was afraid for my abstinence. I had all these emotions, all these fears, and I knew I needed a deeper connection to my program, to God, to the 12 steps. And so I was seeking a different way to work the steps, to work the program. And that's how I found Big Book Awakening. A fellow I knew told me to speak to another fellow. That fellow connected me with an available sponsor. That available sponsor, she made me go through the craziest things I'd never had to go through before. I had to think about why I wanted to go through Big Book Awakening. I had to do some considerations. I mean, like, through the ringer, which of course is what everybody does here at Big Book Awakening, but I had just never done that. And it was such a blessing because I did think long and hard about it. Like, was I really prepared to put in the effort to do the work in this program? And I was, because I respected my disease enough to know that if I didn't do something significant, I wasn't going to be safe. I wasn't going to be protected. My abstinence was not a sure thing. And so I got started in Big Book Awakening right around April of 2021. And it was such a profound experience because this person who took me through the steps was so incredibly kind and loving and gentle and yet firm. And she pushed me and she reminded me time and time again that if I had the power to do whatever it was that was bothering me, I would have already done it. And because of that messaging, I could be thankful to be reminded that I'm powerless. Like, for whatever's bothering me, if I had the power, fill in the blank, to help Bryce get through 5 minutes.
5 minutes, yeah.
Okay, thank you. If I had had the power to help Bryce get through a global pandemic without quitting my job, I would have, but I didn't have that power. If I had the power to, you know, get through life while still stuffing my face, I would, but I don't have that power. I've given up that power. You know, and on and on and on. And so I continue to do Big Book Awakening because it continues to challenge me and give me a different perspective of the 12 steps. I'm currently in a Big Book Awakening workshop that we don't curse on this, but it is kicking my tush all the way around and around and around, challenging me about powerlessness right now. The workshop has you make two lists. One, a list of everything you want to stop doing but cannot stop. And the second list is a list of everything you're trying to do but cannot do. And so I started out with relatively small lists on both sides, and each week they continue to grow. And so they're growing to the point where I think I need a new notebook. But here's the thing, I'm powerless over all that too. And that's what I'm coming to accept. Like, I just have to continually give that to God. And the closer I am to God, the better off I am. And that just requires me to do my part. Prayer and meditation, taking care of myself, pushing the pause button. Like, there are things I can do. This weekend, I happen to have gotten into an argument with my husband. It's better when I don't get into an argument with my husband, when I actually push the pause button and I keep my mouth closed and I call a fellow and work it out there. But this weekend, I didn't keep my mouth shut and I engaged. I don't know. Was I powerless? Did I have power? I'm not sure. But all I know for sure is that I don't rise above the level of human. I am 100% human. I will make mistakes. I'm grateful today that those mistakes do not involve compulsively overeating, that my food is in order. I'm neutral around the food. And for the most part, I'm pretty neutral around people. There's really nobody I'm trying to control today, which is a miracle. And that just continually validates to me that God is the one with the power, not me, because all of this I couldn't have done for myself. I didn't have the power. I tried to do all of these things for years and couldn't. And so I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep going to workshops, even when I want to quit. And I'm going to keep learning who God would have me be and asking for his will to be done, not mine. And it was really a pleasure to be here with all of you today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.